Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, welcome back. This is Scott Aspenlighter in for the great Aaron Flint. Fortunately or unfortunately, he turned the keys to the car over to a dumb dirt kicker from the tundra. But we're going to see if we can't keep this thing out of the ditch here again for another hour. But grateful to have Ashley Kavanaugh in with us from Big Sky Economic Development. And one of the things that I was really curious to get your perspective on, Ashley, is what are we seeing as far as economic activity statewide? You know, what are you seeing from your position in what's going on across the state?
Yeah, so I was a business owner during COVID, and you saw a huge inflection of people, huge inflection of cash into our state, and now you're kind of seeing that start to taper off and us start to regulate kind of as a state and settle down to, okay, this is what is more normal for us, and look around and see how much we've changed in the last 5 years, right?
Yeah.
What we see looking around our own community, though, is we have a lot going on that we should be really proud of. We broke a state record just 2 weeks ago when we had the ribbon cutting or the groundbreaking of the Intermountain Hospital, $1 billion investment. That's in addition to the National Guard, Rocky Vista University, the vet school. And really, I think from a state perspective, the Rocky Vista University vet school is a win for our entire state.
Absolutely.
Because if you're from a small community, and if especially if you have a farm or ranch, that guy or gal is on speed dial for you. There's one or two in every community. We're educating the next generation of vets here.
Yeah.
So we see that on all of our campuses, and we really see ourselves fueling Montana's economy.
Yeah, that's really great perspective. And that's one of the things we don't talk about a lot is the Rocky Vista University system. I mean, they're up and running with their first class of doctors.
Yeah.
in the medical side, yeah, of the operation, and the vet clinic is under construction currently. Ashley, have they put out when they're going to have their first class?
We hope they'll start within 2 years, that first class will be on the ground in Billings. Osteopathic medicine, those students are all over volunteering and doing good work in the community. And that's in addition to what Rocky's doing and MSU Billings. And we have great partners here. And then Great Falls got a medical school as well. So we're seeing that kind of spread out throughout the state.
Yeah, and that was something that we never had.
Exactly.
We had the WAMI program, right?
Exactly.
And the veterinary version of the WAMI program through Montana State University, and that was it. We shipped our kids out to get educated, and now we finally are creating some opportunities to educate them here at home.
And from a workforce perspective, you want that. I mean, we talk now at the high school level, because if a student graduates from MSU Billings or Rocky, they have a 50 and 80% chance to join our workforce. So if you have an engineer going to school or a doctor, our business community wants those guys working for them. So it's great.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. We're going to take a quick break here and come back and talk about some of the more specific economic drivers that we're seeing here, and what should we be looking for in the coming months and years here in Billings and in the state of Montana. So quick break. We'll join right back after this. Montana Talks.
It's July 8th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Freezer Pops Day. With a history that dates back more than 60 years, freezer pops are nearly synonymous with the heat of summer and being a kid. Freezer pops are a very shareable treat, so whether your favorite flavor is cherry, orange, or grape, it's always good to have some on hand. Also on this date, in 1776, Colonel John Nixon of Pennsylvania became the first person to publicly read aloud the Declaration of Independence to a gathering of citizens on the steps of Independence Hall in Philadelphia. And in 1913, Alfred Carlton Gilbert received the patent for the Erector Set, which will then go on to become one of the most popular toys of all time. If it's your birthday today, you share it with celebrity chef Wolfgang Puck, born in 1949, and country music star Toby Keith, born in 1961. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot. Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, welcome back. This is Scott Aspenleiter in for Aaron Flint, and we're talking economic activity in Billings, Yellowstone County, and in Montana here with Ashley Kavanaugh. So we're going to pick that conversation back up and talk, you know, kind of more regionally. What, Ashley, are you seeing in movements in economic activity and particularly economic investments in Montana? I feel like we're, you talked about the COVID influx and the influx of people and how we've kind of, you know, leveled ourselves out economically from the COVID years. It feels to me as a business owner in the civil engineering world that we're now starting to see kind of a new level of investments.
Exactly.
Into Billings and into Montana. What sectors are you seeing kind of the most growth and the most activity in that maybe we don't see when we're driving around our town?
Yeah, I would start with some of the more foundational pieces, and that it, one of them is air service. So as a business leader, what we've heard from our community is we need connectivity out of our state so that not only can we bring in new clients, but we can bring in new employees and things like that. So you have to have some of those foundational pieces in place. And we have 10 direct flights coming from our airport now, which is one of those things that I think if you're not flying out of there to go to one of those destinations, you may miss. So we're trying to do a lot to show how much connectivity we have out of our community. Another one I would mention is retail. I just did a story, and the reporter was saying, hey, what about all this closure on King Avenue with Costco? No, Costco is a win. They built a new facility. 2 million people go through there every year, which if you're in there on a Saturday or Sunday, you can feel that.
It feels like 2 million people.
You can feel that. But we're seeing new investments coming from people who get it. If they're out of state or they're regional, we're even seeing companies within our own state say, hey, we want to have a presence in Billings. And then we're seeing the growth and success stories of our homegrown businesses here. So I would say what you're seeing on King Avenue is a reflection of that. They're just growing. And then we have new places and people coming behind them to kind of invest in those areas. But you're seeing that all over our community.
Yeah. One of the things that's been interesting to me is to see, you know, it's newer to Montana, or new to Montana, but it's not new to the country, is all these data centers and hyperscalers.
Yes, yes. You know?
And those facilities are hundreds of millions of dollars in investment, but they're also a giant draw on the power grid and on the energy sector. You know, we're starting to see activity. I mean, Great Falls up at Black Eagle announced, you know, there's a group that's going to build a 600-acre campus for a hyperscaler facility up in Great Falls. I know that there has been activity and interest around Yellowstone County around data center.
Absolutely.
Construction. The thing that's been interesting to me about data centers and hyperscalers and that kind of tech industry infrastructure is all the requirements that they have.
Yes.
I mean, you have to be along big natural gas pipelines to fuel the
generation around it. You have to be connected to a stable and steady grid that has capacity, not just in the power plant, but capacity in the transmission lines to get it to the hyperscaler. And you have to have the infrastructure to support it. Now, what I've been surprised at is, those hyperscaler and data center facilities aren't necessarily bringing thousands of people to work them. You know, they're
20 jobs maybe, but high paying jobs.
Yeah, they're small job creators, but from a tax base, they are giant tax contributors to local economies. I mean, what have you seen and heard with your counterparts around the state about, you know, interest and activity in that data center and hyperscaler market?
So I would say data centers and AI generally are just the next frontier. And one thing we always say, and this is a, you know, blessing and a curse, is Montana's just a bit behind the rest of the country. So what has happened is you've seen these data centers buy up all the land in Oklahoma and the Midwest, and now they look west and go, okay, you guys are next. What I think has been a really good thing about this next phase is that we're all working together in the state to make sure we're doing this thoughtfully. So when we have conversations with these companies, we're not only saying, here's what Yellowstone County as an economic developer, here's our perspective, but Northwestern Energy is at the table with us as well. Yellowstone Valley Electric, our city, we need the county, right? Like our county commissioners are huge in this. So we need to have all those people at the table so we do this thoughtfully. Because as you're saying, it's a lot of land, it's a lot of resources, it's relatively low in terms of job creation, but it's huge. You're talking $500 million to $1 billion investments for each building.
And the tax, just the assessed taxable value on those facilities is a needle mover in county government and in the county budget and in the city budget. You know, the interesting part to me about some of these conversations is, they need to be connected to municipal facilities because of the water requirements, you know, the cooling systems and things like that. But it's hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to convince a community like ours to say, hey, we're going to put a 600-acre, million-square-foot building, you know, and it's a box building in this side of the city.
Yeah.
And that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's hard to communicate to the community the benefit of that and where you're going to see the influx of tax revenue.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we're missing the communication as we're having these conversations. But we're going to take a quick break and come right back with Ashley. You're listening to Montana Talks.
Sports update.
It's Baltimore. Say goodnight to the Rangers. The Angels rock it off. Literally, they win it 6-5.
On FanDuel Sports Network West, the Angels beat the Rangers 6-5 on a bases loaded walk in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Swung on a high chopper to second. Schneeman gloves, throws, bogey. The streak is death. And they do it against the hottest team in baseball since June 1st.
On WTAM, the Cleveland Guardians snapped their losing streak at 10 games Monday for the 7-5 win over the AL West-leading Houston Astros, who dropped 2.5 games behind the Detroit Tigers for the best record of the American League. Detroit stretched its win streak to 4 games with a 5-1 win over Tampa Bay. Red Sox rookie Roman Anthony went 3-for-5, hit his first home run at Fenway Park. Boston beat Colorado 9-3. Toronto Blue Jays won their ninth game in a row, longest win streak in 10 years for Toronto. Blue Jays flew past the White Sox 8-4. Brewers all-star pitcher Freddy Peralta improved his record to 10-4. The Brewers blasted the Dodgers 9-1. Manny Machado got the 2,000th hit of his career, but the Padres still lost to the Diamondbacks 6-3. On 2 runs in the 8th inning, the Giants beat the Phillies 3-1. The Royals tripled up the Pirates 9-3. The Marlins topped the Reds 5-1. NBA, Paolo Banchero of the Orlando Magic will sign a 5-year rookie contract extension worth $239 million. The deal can be worth up to as much as $287 million. Tennis, quarterfinals underway at Wimbledon today. American Taylor Fritz, seeded 5th, is facing Karen Khachanov. Two-time reigning champion Carlos Alcaraz faces Cameron Norrie of Great Britain. American Amanda Anisimova plays Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova after top seed Aryna Sabalenka takes on Laura Sigmund. You can download the Fox Sports podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. I'm Jared Max.
Fox rocks.
I'm Tanya J. Powers. Oasis fans finally got the moment they've waited for 16 years. The return of Noel and Liam Gallagher. Their Live 25 tour kicked off in Wales on Friday, about a year after they announced their reunion. The North American leg of the tour starts in late August. After 27 years with Pearl Jam, drummer Mike Cameron is leaving the group. In a social media post, Cameron thanked his fellow bandmates and fans for the opportunity of a lifetime. Cameron was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Pearl Jam in 2017. He'll go in again later this year for his work with Soundgarden. Black Sabbath reunited over the weekend for the first time in 20 years and for the last time ever, as it was also the final concert ever for Ozzy Osbourne. Ozzy, who performed seated on a bat-themed throne, did some of his solo material before the band did a four-song set. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, that intro almost tricked me again, Caden. That late bring in after the music always gets me itchy to get in there. But welcome back. This is Montana Talks. Scott Aspenlighter in for Aaron Flint, and we've got Ashley Kavanaugh in studio talking about economic development and economic activity. And we were talking about data centers and hyperscalers and that kind of industrial investment. Maybe let's pivot to more what we're seeing as far as sustainable and stable investments kind of coming off of the heels of, you know, this $1 billion investment by Intermountain Health.
Yes.
And what that does in trickling down to the support industries and the support businesses and the support economy around our, you know, our city and really regionally. You know, that hospital doesn't just help Billings in Yellowstone County. That hospital helps Eastern Montana. And what are you seeing on that front?
We actually see that what happens with the hospital and those types of investments actually has a ripple effect in a four-state region, because we actually provide healthcare to North and South Dakota as well as Wyoming and then the whole state. If you're in a trauma situation, there's a really good chance you're going to be flown to Billings Clinic here. So we see those ripple effects state and then also just multi-state regionally as well. Some other things are ag and ag tech. Those are kind of foundational. And then anything related to healthcare that can help support those industries are also really, really positive. We want to continue manufacturing. Yeah. That's huge. We have some really great manufacturing businesses we should be proud of here. Those are great jobs for our kids, too, yeah, to go into. And then obviously like the engineering, architecture, construction. There's a lot of construction happening here.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and that's near and dear to my heart, obviously, because I'm a civil engineer. I'm a dirt kicker by trade, and it's great to see the construction and the investment going on in our communities. One of the things that we struggle with, though, in Billings and frankly in the construction industry is the cost of living and keeping the wage and the employee retention and the employee retraction up. You know, as we recruit at different colleges in different states. I mean, we go to the University of Wyoming down in Laramie. We go to South Dakota School of Mines in Rapid City. Sure. We go over to Montana Tech in Butte. Obviously, I'm a Bobcat. We go to Montana State and we pull the best engineers out of Montana State, in my humble opinion. But, you know, one of the things that I've heard over the last 3 years is I've talked to folks in the education community is that civil engineering in particular, civil engineering and construction engineering are seeing the lowest numbers over the last decade out of any engineering or technical degree. They're seeing declines in enrollment in those programs and increases in enrollment in things like electrical engineering and mechanical engineering and chemical engineering. And the reason behind that, what they're saying anyway, the reason behind that is that kids at 20 years old when their professor tells them, oh, yeah, you know, civil engineers, your job offer is going to be $60,000 coming out of college. But if you're a mechanical engineer, your job offer coming out of college is going to be, you know, $75,000 a year. Well, as a 20-year-old kid, that's pretty easy math.
That's an easy equation, yeah.
Right, that's pretty easy math to do. And we're good math people, theoretically. What doesn't get told and what doesn't get spoken, I don't think, is the ability to have those chemical, electrical, and mechanical engineering jobs and stay in Montana.
Oh, yeah.
The support for those jobs and those industries that hire those kids don't exist in abundance in Montana. So what we've seen historically is we see a lot of kids with mechanical engineering degrees that are in their last year trying to apply for civil engineering jobs because they want to stay in Montana. They're Montana kids. They want to stay in Montana. They want to be here. But they made that decision and they figured that out when it was almost too late to turn and pivot in college. And so the construction industry, I feel like, struggles, and probably a lot of industries in Montana struggle with the cost of living that we're facing. And what are you seeing across the industries and the folks that you talk with about cost of living and how we're combating cost of living increases and, you know, the inflation and interest rates and those types of things, getting people into houses? What are you hearing and seeing across the state from those folks?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I'll talk about Billings and Yellowstone County in particular here, because it's all about perspective. When you say you're a Montana kid and you graduate and you go off to a different state, Colorado, Texas, the Midwest, and you start having kids, you get married, and you think, man, I want to go home, your perspective is that Billings could still be a very affordable place to live. But if you are homegrown, I can totally see, you know, kind of looking around and going, well, my parents bought their house, which is beautiful, 4 bedrooms, 3 baths, and it was $400,000 or $350,000. That's the starter home now in our state. But one thing that we really wanted to do to combat this is we put together a cost of living calculator at Big Sky Economic Development. So our employers, but then also their team, can look at that, and it's a real-time guide of here's the average cost of childcare. That's a huge conversation statewide. Here's the cost of transportation and housing and all of that. So it's all about perspective, right? And so we wanted to give people the tools to make their own call in terms of what is possible for them.
Yeah, and that's from what I've experienced. We lean into the tools that you guys provide at Big Sky Economic Development heavily.
Great.
We put your materials out at the career fairs, the
Love
Better
it.
Off in Billings
Love
materials.
It.
We use everything that we can in helping to try to recruit kids to our community, to be a part of our city. But that calculator, that cost of living calculator, is one that I've had a lot of kids actually use.
Good.
And do a comparison, because it's also easy to say, hey, you know, your offer is $5,000 less than the offer I got in Bozeman.
Yes.
And I point them to that economic calculator,
yes,
that cost of living calculator. And they start doing the math and they go, oh, well, maybe it's actually not that different. Right? You know, the cost of living in Western Montana versus Billings or Great Falls, you know, and these communities on the eastern side of the divide start to become a little bit more attractive. And then you start to add in the things like the ARC and the medical corridor and the stability of the Billings economy. And now all of a sudden, you can look at Billings through a different lens.
And that's,
you know,
why we're so bullish on the data. And any of your listeners who are business owners and they want to have us pull this reporting, we love it because it adds context to the story we tell ourselves. And personal finances are personal.
Mm-hmm.
And this gives people the ability to sit at home with their families and make the best call for them. One anecdote is when we were leaving the western side of the state to come home, right?
Yeah.
When I wanted to start a family, young people around us said, good for you. You're going to have a life in Billings. Yeah. You're actually going to be able to build a life in Billings. Good for you.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I think that we see with our young professionals as we onboard them and try to get them engaged in this community. I am so bullish about the future of Billings and the future of Eastern Montana, the future of Montana in general,
yes,
honestly.
Yes.
We're going to talk to one of our great leaders, Attorney General Knudsen, here after the bottom of the hour. I'm excited about where Montana is going.
We should be.
I'm excited about where Billings is going. You know, my home is Billings. My business is Billings. You know, my city is Billings. I'm a city council member. The thing that I try to tell people about Billings in particular, but I think it's Montana in general, is you're starting to see a generational change here. You know, that old guard that helped build our city, that helped build our state, is now starting to turn over. And you're starting to see that new group of young professionals pick up the torch and start to carry it forward. There are so many young, engaged, and aggressive professionals in this community and across our state that I think we have built a vibrant business community.
Yeah.
Certainly here in Billings that's exciting to be a part of. Yeah, there's new conversations. There's willingness to have revive the old debates about what we invest in and what we don't, who we are and who we're not. And I think that's a healthy conversation for us here locally, and it's a healthy conversation for us to have as Montana. You know?
And that's a natural slide as you start to own a home, start to have kids, you start to get more invested and you look around and go, okay, I have a part in this. One thing I would say to my fellow young people is we need more of us to get involved. We need more of us to join Rotary and Knights of Columbus and all these organizations that do great work. We have to kind of give our parents a break.
Yeah.
Start coaching the teams like we were talking about and volunteering at schools. We need to start taking the reins for some of those things and give the older folks a break.
Yeah, that's my continual challenge to the next generation coming up. I don't know if
run for office.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm Gen X, Gen Z. I don't know what those are. I'm 40. Right. I'm in my early 40s, right? And I watched my parents do that in Culbertson, a town of 700 people, have 2 and 3 jobs. My dad was a fire chief for 28 years. He was a football coach for 28 years. Yeah, they were all active in the church board. They were committing their time to coaching sports, baseball, basketball, travel teams, you know, all of those things. And I think this generation, my generation to some extent, but the next generation really has some bigger shoes to fill. And I don't think we fully understand the scope of sacrifice that was made by business leaders, by young professionals in shaping the generation that's coming behind them. And my hope is that they'll meet that challenge and they'll help develop the next set of leaders in their likeness and to give them the opportunity and the hope to see that, hey, this is a great state. It's not just a tourism state. It's not just a recreational state. It's not just an ag state. There's a hell of a lot of opportunities in Montana.
We're a relationship state. Yeah,
absolutely.
Get out and do it.
Absolutely. Well, Ashley, thanks for jumping in and joining us this morning. Appreciate having you. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back with my good friend, Attorney General Austin Knudsen, to talk about the Department of Justice and what's going on with public safety around the state of Montana. Montana Talks.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I'll tell you what, one of the best decisions we ever made as a family was to get not only a camper, but also to get a pontoon boat. Man, it's just so incredible. You know, with a camper, every weekend you can have a different backyard. You could be camped out on some lake, camped out on some river. Heck, you could be camped out on somebody's ranch for that matter. And of course, with the pontoon, man, I just love getting out on the water. What a way to really enjoy the great Montana outdoors. And I did it all through our friends at Brett's RV and Marine. Brett's RV and Marine, they've been helping families go camping and boating since 1967. Plus, they've got the largest inventory in 5 states. They're Montana family owned. They've got great locations in Billings, Butte, and Missoula. You can check out some of their inventory. Go to brettsrv.com. Again, that's brettsrv.com. Or just drop in and say hello to our friends at the Billings, Butte, or Missoula locations. brettsrv.com.
All right. Well, we are back on Montana Talks. This is Scott Aspenlighter in for Aaron Flint, and got a great guest, a good friend, and one of our state leaders joining us here at the bottom of the hour, Attorney General Austin Knudsen. Austin, how are you doing, man?
What's going on, brother?
Oh, just trying to keep this thing out of the ditch. Here, I've screwed up a couple times. Caden had to come in and show me how to push the right buttons, all these dials. You were an old radio DJ back in the high school days. You know how these arrows and dials and switchboards. I'm just an engineer, man. I don't know how to work this stuff.
There's nothing scarier than dead air when you're the guy behind the microphone.
Oh boy. Yeah, Caden banged on the window there at one point because I missed an intro, but we're keeping around wheels down here. So, Austin, thanks for taking the time to join us this morning. I appreciate it. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about, you know, we've talked about this off air in conversations, but you know, you came in as the Attorney General 4 years ago, kind of coming off the Trump years, and I think there was a hope that we were going to have our second Trump term 4 years ago, and then we got what we got with Joe Biden's America. And you got elected, you took the reins over at the DOJ, and you probably had a plan on the assumption that we were going to have Trump, and then you got Biden, and those plans shifted drastically. So the last 4 years, you did a hell of a lot of work playing defense for the people of Montana, but now we're playing offense, and so maybe give us an update of what's going on with the new Trump administration and kind of how that's impacted what your team's doing over at the DOJ.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and thanks for having me on, bud. So I think probably the best way to summarize the first 4 years of my administration, which was, you know, Joe Biden's four, we filed 60 lawsuits against the Biden administration. We, as in the state of Montana, as in we led. And even that was a sea change for this office, right? It had been very much quite the neutered office before I took over. My predecessor, they did not like to be very aggressive. They were very much a lick their fingers, stick in the air, and see which way the wind was blowing. I knew that's not how I wanted to run the Department of Justice. But yeah, I mean, the first 4 years under Joe Biden, we literally couldn't go a week without the federal government promulgating some crazy rule in the dead of night, no comment, no actually following the Administrative Procedures Act. They're just trying to shove things through by rule. And so we had to sue Joe Biden a lot, and we won a lot. But it was a lot of work. You know, that's tough on your federal solicitor staff.
Yeah.
When they're having to monitor the Federal Register literally every single day just to see what kind of crazy new rule is going to come out of D.C.
And let's be clear, you don't have a federal solicitor staff of 25, right?
No, this is a small office. Montana is we're still a podunk state, right? Like, this is a small AG's office by standards to say like a Texas or even a Utah, right? Oh, I mean, I think at my height, I had four federal solicitors. And our Solicitor General, Christian Corrigan, has done just a phenomenal job.
Man, that guy's a killer.
Oh, he's so good. And you know, hopefully we can keep him in the mix here in Montana Republican politics. But in any case, fast forward to today. Donald Trump's back in the White House. Scott, I can't tell you how weird it is to actually have regular conversations with the White House or with U.S. DOJ.
Yeah.
It's like you said, we are no longer having to play defense. We're no longer trying to hit curveballs. We're the ones that get to actually throw the curveballs. So it's a breath of fresh air. We're working with the administration. We're not having to file the lawsuits. Sometimes the administration asks us to file lawsuits, which sounds a little strange, but I mean, they're dealing with the deep state in Washington, D.C. I think Donald Trump, especially after his first term, I think the rose-colored glasses are off. He knows exactly what that town is about. Mm-hmm. He knows exactly how much that deep state hates his guts and is trying to impede him. And he knows sometimes you got to take the gloves off and play hardball with them, too. So,
yeah,
absolute breath of fresh air.
So what's, you talk about working with the U.S. Department of Justice and with the White House. What are some of the things on your radar here in the next 6 months now that you're off to the races again with this administration as it's getting off to the races? What are some of the things on your radar that are happening federally that are impacting Montana?
Well, immigration, right? The illegal immigration, the southern border, ICE, all those hot topics. You might not think it, but those are tremendously important here in Montana because those tie directly into the cartel drug problem that we've been battling in the state, in the last, fentanyl really in the last 5 years. I mean, fentanyl came on the scene and just nobody expected it to flood the zone the way it did and just meteorically rise in demand and in the cartel pushing it as quickly as they did. And I don't care where you are politically, this is a fact. That occurred because of Joe Biden's policies in the southern border.
Yeah. Yeah. There is no way that you can convince any rational-minded person that having an open border policy did not open the floodgates for things that we did not want, like drugs, in our country. And I don't care if you're talking about only the southern border, but it's happening on the northern border, too, where you and I grew up.
Not nearly to the extent of that southern border. I mean, yeah, we have some stuff happen on the northern border here in Montana, and I keep very close eye on that. And in fact, I'm about to go up here shortly within the next weeks and meet with the U.S. Border Patrol and our sector chief up there at Havre. We have a very quiet section of northern border, but that isn't to say that the rest of the country, that's not the case. You get over that Niagara Falls sector, it's pretty crazy over there. But for us here in Montana, the southern border was literally killing us.
Yeah.
Fast forward to today, I mean, our fentanyl seizures are already down. It was stunning to see within months of Donald Trump being elected, we started to see fewer shipments of fentanyl coming into Montana. I mean, it's not long division. It's almost like a secure border works.
Yeah.
Right? But let me extrapolate that out. Human trafficking. We know that is a huge problem here in the U.S. And here in Montana, we see a lot of human trafficking cases. Labor trafficking, where illegal immigrants are forced into slavery situations. Sometimes that's sex slavery. I mean, that's not a nice thing to say. But when we talk about human trafficking in Montana, that's what we're really talking about. So those things are all getting markedly better under the Trump administration because, frankly, the cartels know this guy's not playing. The southern border is no longer wide open. Now, criminals are not going to stop being criminals.
Right.
They're going to, and we see this, they're trying different tactics. I think we're going to see China and the cartels keep trying to push fentanyl in other avenues into our state, but what I can report to your listeners today, we are absolutely seeing a very, frankly, dramatic decrease in fentanyl trafficking into Montana.
And that's such an impactful item for Billings and for what we're dealing with the crime and the increased violent crime that we've saw over the last decade in Billings. We're going to take a quick break here, but I want to come back and talk with you a little bit, Austin, about some of the investments that we're making with the Montana Law Enforcement Academy, some of the things that you're seeing in kind of reshaping and retooling the way that we're talking about public safety across the state of Montana and some of the targets for you over the next 6 to 12 months that you want to see get done. So we're going to come back here after this short break with Austin Knutson, the Attorney General for the state of Montana. Montana Talks.
See Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, the idea that we shouldn't have billionaires, he said, I don't think that we should have billionaires.
All right, you are a self-described democratic socialist. Do you think that billionaires have a right to exist?
I don't think that we should have billionaires because, frankly, it is so much money in a moment of such inequality. And ultimately, what we need more of is equality across our city and across our state and across our country.
Equality. This is why I call him Marxist Mamdani, because to each according to his need, from each according to his ability. That's right out of Karl Marx's mouth. And that's exactly what he's talking about with equality here.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, Sean Hannity here, and these are certainly uncertain times with everything happening overseas. We've got to be on high alert here at home. Everyone needs to go to BYRNA.com. Why? I want you to see this non-lethal technology that can save lives, and you will see their compact launcher, the world's smallest, less lethal pistol launcher. And you can incapacitate any perpetrator, regardless of size, 30 to 40 minutes. The great thing about Burner is it has kinetic rounds designed to incapacitate these people. The compact launcher is perfect for women if you want protection and you don't want to carry a firearm, and you can put it in your purse and nobody will know you have it. Burner, no background check, can be shipped directly to your door. BYRNA is trusted by all of the professionals because the technology is so superior and a great alternative to lethal force. Visit Burner, BYRNA.com today and find the right launcher for you and your family. That's BYRNA.com.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. President Trump's new budget does away with a large fee for obtaining a suppressor. And now there's a lawsuit saying it doesn't go far enough. Gun Owners of America, along with Gun Owners Foundation, are planning to sue the U.S. government in federal court over the issue of the National Firearms Act regulating suppressors, sometimes called silencers. While the One Big Beautiful Bill, now Act, eliminated the $200 fee for obtaining and registering a suppressor, one still must register it. GOA holds its contention that this is unconstitutional, being that the NFA is implemented as a tax law and is now not charging a tax. Opponents to the One Big Beautiful Bill had also objected to the new law's repeal of the $200 fee, arguing it would make suppressors more widely available. Of course, suppressors alone don't fire bullets. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
All the latest Montana news and commentary. You know, Facebook and Big Tech don't want you to see it. So get it straight from the Montana Talks app. Get the Montana Talks app on your phone.
New News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, welcome back. This is Scott Aspenletter in for Aaron Flint. And we've been talking with the Attorney General, Austin Knutson, here around some of the things he's been seeing and the changes and impacts that Donald Trump has had on what he does as the Attorney General for the state of Montana and what he's seeing. And great conversation and discussion. One of the things that Austin, I did want to talk with you about was some of the changes that you're making at the Montana Law Enforcement Academy and the training grounds for the public safety officers in Montana. Big changes coming, some investments coming that are long overdue. Why don't you talk to the listeners a little bit about what we're doing to invest in training the next generation of law enforcement officers for the state of Montana?
Yeah, happy to, Scott. I know we just got a couple minutes here, so I'll distill this down. When we took over, it didn't take us long to figure out that the Montana Law Enforcement Academy had really kind of gone to pot. It hadn't had any significant investments, any significant updates. Every law enforcement officer in Montana has to go through this academy. We don't have multiple academies. We only have one. So if you've got a local sheriff deputy, a local PD, tribal officer, fish and game officer, they all go through the Montana Law Enforcement Academy. And it was stagnant. And frankly, we were not putting out a very good product. I think everybody in law enforcement in this state would agree with me when I say that. We just weren't doing a really good job training law enforcement officers. And it didn't take us long to recognize that. So we've hired some new staff out there. We've got a new administrator who's fantastic. He's updated everything with way more scenario-based training because we need officers who have hands-on abilities. So they need to know how to handcuff a suspect. That's not something you can learn by PowerPoint.
Yeah.
And that's what was going on out here. But probably the biggest investment that we've got, number one, we just got done building a new scenario building. It's tough to train new lawns in anything when it's 25 below in the Helena Valley.
Yeah.
Cadets just aren't learning anything. Yeah, you have to practice like you play, right? We know they're gonna incur inclement weather in their jobs. But when you're trying to teach them something for the first time and do repetitions, they're not learning it when it's that cold. Similarly with shooting. I was horrified to find out that we don't own a shooting range. We train every law enforcement officer in the state. The biggest liability they carry is that gun on their hip every day. And we literally had instances where those cadets were only getting 2, maybe 3 days of actual live fire training.
Which is crazy.
And then turning them loose. Yeah, so went to the legislature this session. We got an appropriation. The governor just signed that into bill, that bill into law. We're going to invest in an indoor shooting facility where we can actually train new cadets. We get lots more new shooters who've never even fired a gun before when they show up at the academy. So we have to really gin in good instruction, give them that good firearms instruction. We're going to be able to do that now in a climate-controlled facility. So we're just trying to put out a better product for every law enforcement agency in the state.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I can tell you as a councilman here in Billings, that's one of the biggest assets I think that we have now, not a liability, but now an asset, is that Law Enforcement Academy and the direction change that's happened under your leadership. Austin, maybe for the listeners, we got 15 seconds left. What's kind of on your radar here as we end the year, head towards the home finish of 2025?
Crime and drugs is still top note for me, Scott. I mean, that's the job I was elected for. It's my passion. I'm a prosecutor. We're still working with ICE, deputizing all of Montana Highway Patrol to help out our handful of ICE agents here in the state. We're trying to take a bite out of illegal immigration because that's directly tied to our cartel drug problem. So that is top line for me.
Well, Austin, I appreciate you taking the time to jump in this morning. We're going to take a quick break, come back at the top of the hour. But, Austin, thanks again for all you're doing for the state of Montana.
You bet, bud. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, I know how it goes, man. You're driving around Montana. Maybe you're pulling the camper or something like that. You're going on a trip, but you still want to listen to your Montana news and commentary. Well, you can get all 4 hours of Montana Talks on the Montana Talks app. So whether you're in cell range or out of cell range, you just want something to listen to, all 4 hours of Montana Talks right there at your fingertips. Put it on your smartphone. It'll even show up on your dashboard. Get the Montana Talks app on your phone.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.